Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
New U.S. sanctions on Iran took effect today, 6 months after President Trump pulled the U.S. out of the international nuclear deal.
The sanctions target Iran's shipping, financial, and energy sectors, all key to the country's already struggling economy.
The bombs, which the FBI referred to as improvised explosive devices, were sent to the FBI's bomb laboratory in Quantico, Virginia.
We're in Mexico again tonight as thousands of migrants try to find a faster way to the U.S. border. The White House says it's now getting help from the Mexican.
Breaking news out of Pittsburgh. The man accused in the shooting at the synagogue in Pittsburgh is pleading not guilty, and he also wants a jury trial. You can see he's facing a 44 count. So,
in the final seconds before the Boeing 737 MAX crashed into the water, it was traveling at more than 500 kilometers an hour. All 189 people on board were killed.
You've now entered the House of Mystery.
Crime, conspiracy, history, and science.
With your hosts, Al Warren, Mike Brown,
Julie Saab, Michael Butterfield,
Dr. Joseph Usinski, and Michael Hawley.
Heard on KCAA 106.5 FM Los Angeles,
102.3 FM Riverside,
and 105.0 AM Palm Springs.
You're back in the House of Mystery, and I'm at the controls, Al Warren, and my co-host today is David Martinos, trying it with
somebody. Thanks, Al.
Name.
And, That's perfect.
Yeah. So now we've got a very special guest that's called all the way from Colombia, and his name is Jesus Ruiz Haneo.
Yes.
Thanks for being here, Jesus.
Oh, you're welcome.
Okay, and we've also got Ron Chepsik, who is the author or co-author of the book called The Real Mr. Big, How a Colombian Refugee Became the United Kingdom's Most Notorious Cocaine Kingpin. Well, thank you for being here, Ron.
Thank you. Thank you, Alan.
So Ron, let's start with you here. How did you come across this case to write the book?
Well, very interesting. I woke up one morning in May 2017, and first thing I do is I get my coffee, then I go to the computer, and I check my mail, and I had this email in there, and I could tell it was from England. I was saying, why am I getting an email from England? And it was the daughter of Jesus, and she had written me a note and saying that her father knew about me, and he was getting out of prison pretty soon, and would I be interested in writing a book with him? And I looked and I said, you know, who is this guy? You know, Jesus Ruiz Haneo, you know. And I looked at it and I was saying, so anyway, she had about five clips with it, and so I clicked on the links, and that was kind of, you know, it was kind of amazing. The articles described this Colombian, you know, he came to the United Kingdom as sort of a refugee, and he had built this incredible network, which at one time employed probably 20,000 people, and there was claims that he was the first billion-pound cocaine kingpin in British history. And then I read an article, I read a comment by one of the police officers describing him as the Pablo Escobar of United Kingdom cocaine trafficking. So that was enough to get me interested as a writer. I said, wow. And there was really nothing, you know, written about him. And this guy, Jesus, had stayed under the radar. And so I wrote back and I said, yeah, you know, I'd be interested in talking with Jesus about this. And so he said, okay. And then we arranged a phone conversation. He called me from prison. At the time, he was serving 18 years in the British penitentiary. And we talked a little bit about that. She sent me some sort of a diary that he kept, which was quite interesting. And we said, okay, we're gonna, you know, yeah, we can work together on this thing. And he thought he was getting out early, but for some reason, and you can check with Jesus on this, the legal reasons, he kept getting delayed. And so it was like 2019, and I was pretty kind of pessimistic that he was going to get out. And one day he got out, and next thing I know, he was back in Colombia. They deported him after they released him, and he was back in Colombia. And so I wrote his daughter, and you know, said, you know, what's going on? Is he out? And all that. And she said, yeah, you give some time to acclimatize himself back to Colombia, and then we'll get together with you. And so we got together, and gave him some time to get used to freedom. And we agreed that I would go to Colombia, and I would interview him, and we're going to do a book on that. And so I did that in late January of 2020, and it was very fortunate because it was just before COVID hit. In fact, the first cases were just breaking on that. So it was a very normal situation, and I went there, and for a week I interviewed Jesus, and then I came back. And had enough for a book, and I wrote a book proposal, and so that's how we got started.
Pretty interesting history there. Were you a little bit nervous about going to Colombia and getting involved?
No. I've been going to Colombia since the late 1980s, and I've been there, and I've written extensively. I've written like three or four books on the Colombian drug trade, and I've written numerous articles about it, and I was very familiar with Bogota. Colombia could be a dangerous place, but it's improved a lot since Jesus's heyday. It's gotten much more calm around there, and you know, I'm a journalist. I, you know, these things, you know, don't bother me. I'm a normal person, not involved with journalism, and so no, I didn't feel anything. And I was in Bogota. We were in a hotel room, and we worked together, and I got the information that I needed, and then went back home. So no problem on that.
Jesus, so tell us how you got involved in this kind of a lifestyle.
I don't know. Since I was a very young boy, I saw the people going around in expensive car, and then I realized that the market of the cocaine was the way to make money. And then, I don't know, it's something you grow up with that, and you grow up between these people, and then you just gain all into this.
Jesus grew up in Armenia, which is, you know, cocaine country. He grew up among cocaine. I mean, you know, the coca crop was grown to make cocaine from, so it was a very natural part of his life on that. And he grew up poor, too. You know, a large family, and he saw the things that the people were buying with the money they made from the cocaine trade, and he decided that he was going to get into it.
So, Jesus, how did you deal with the success of becoming so big, becoming like the Mr. Big?
At the beginning, it's really hard because there's a lot of people jealous in this business. It's a lot of people to want to take you out of the way. Doesn't matter what, they can do anything just to get you out of the way. And in Colombia, at that time, it was really hard to get it. You had to deal with a lot of criminals, sicarios especially, because they don't they want to have the power. They don't want anyone to get the power. And for that reason, since I was a very young boy, 17, 18 years old, I'll travel to Europe just to serve the market. And my first travel was into Italy. And there, I managed to get a new, very good contact with the Sicilian Mafia. And from there, I started. Then they brought me to London. And from there, the market was open market, very easy to do business with the with this kind of business with cocaine. I saw that, I was looking around, I was looking at the market, I saw the potential, and then I went back to Colombia, and then I just started my career, can say that. Slowly, I was building up, because there was not too much restrictions, not too much hard things to do. That was so easy. And slowly that became so big.
One of the things about Jesus is that he decided at a very early age not to mess with the United States. You know, he didn't want to deal with the United States dealing with trafficking. That's where most of the Colombians where we're going. You know, the Medellin cartel with Escobar, the Cali cartel with the Rodriguez Orwella brothers, they were going to the United States. He thought the laws there and the opportunities wouldn't be as great if he went into Britain. And I think he made the right decision, because Britain was an untapped market, you know, well into the 1990s.
Yeah, and I guess, Jesus, you were probably not, were you not as scared as with the British police or authorities when it come to that?
At that time, I wasn't scared of them. I was scared of the American, because I saw how the DAA, American, were working really hard in Colombia, and they managed to catch and to get anyone involved in this business. And on top of that, the Medellin cartel and Cali cartel, they were concentrated into the American market. And for that reason, I went into Europe. Spain at that time was a lot of people working in Spain. But my main view was UK because of the prices. And at that time, I was not really Colombians working there. And then when I went there, I just managed to learn a little bit of the law and the police, how they doing. And they was really a lot behind of the Americans. And for that reason, I say this is the place to do the market. And I was no scared of them. Now they update into the Americans. But before that, or early 90s, mid 90s, they were really, really behind.
And Jesus, how do you know who you can trust in this kind of business to build such an empire to work with? How do you choose your people you worked with?
When the people come into the organization, they normally allow people to do very low jobs. They can recommend it, and we know all the family where the father, all the family live, in case they don't get a chance to disappear. And to trust them at the beginning is really hard. It's not easy, but when you get introduced to someone, a higher person to be higher in the organization, has to be recommended and has to be trusted, or has to be done something for someone before. But he's someone who just coming like new one. I never let them see my face, or I never speak to them. I always send a worker to try to do things with them till we can start trust a person. But it's not easy, really hard.
The thing about Jesus is he operated like a CEO of a major corporation. He would vet people that came into the organization. He would check them out. He would go see who they're, where they're hanging out. He'd check out you know, their family, and he would really vet them carefully before he would allow them into the organization. And interestingly, trust was not an issue with Jesus. You know, he was able to operate very efficiently with fellow gangsters, and was very successful from it.
Jesus, did you keep a regular job while you were creating your drug empire?
At the beginning, yes. I was doing a regular job. I was working in a coffee shop, and I was doing a bus driver, and I was doing a normal job. When the business became so good, too big, that was impossible for me to keep my job. And I had to get out of the job and start going around. But luckily, because I won some kind of lottery there, I managed to have money around me, and when the police were checking on me, they will notice that they will know that I already have money from some lottery win, and for that reason, that was good for me to that was easy for me to leave the job and start running around like my own business, my own coffee shop.
Yeah, finally, Jesus had to quit. I describe in the book where he's riding the bus and. He's ranging these 100,000 pound drug deals, and finally it became too much for him. He just said, "I'm going to have to quit and focus full time on the cocaine." But he enjoyed working, didn't you, Jesus?
Yes, I was enjoying working. I really liked working, but then I had to choose or carry on with my bus driver job or do the cocaine, and I really choose the cocaine. Maybe mistake, maybe no, but I don't know. Too late now to think about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and now I notice, okay, so you get out of prison, and you've been kind of laying low. So is there a reason you're sort of laying low or staying out of the limelight?
Yeah. I coming out of prison, I'm very careful, yes. I'm running very low. I don't want people to see me. I don't want no one to find out who I am. And I'm still really quiet most of the time indoors.
Yeah. So what made you decide to get Ron and get together and write a book?
When I noticed that I was in the news all around the world, in BBC News 24 hours, when I saw all the newspaper around the world talking about me, I say, "Oh, this is massive. I think I'm going to start writing." And from inside prison, I start writing, and I was thinking, I'm going to write a book. Why not? I'm going to let the people what I've done. Probably, I don't know. I just made the decision, and I say, yes, I'm interested in that, and I'm going to do it. And for that reason, I start looking to contact the ideal person to write my book, and then it's when I found a Ron.
And so you had a family during this time?
Yes, I have family.
And how were they with everything?
They are okay. They are okay. I keep it close to my family because the one thing you really, really manage to appreciate and to value is the money. The family. The family. But if no money can buy it, the love of the family. No money can do anything when you lose that. And I keep close to them. I managed to speak to them from prison, send letters to their hearts, everything. And I keep close to them. Some of them still live in the UK, but are now in Colombia. But I keep close to them.
Yeah. He explains that in the book, the big lesson that he learned, that money can't buy everything, and that the family is the most important thing. And he really regrets, spending all those years apart from his family in prison, because he's very close to his son and daughter and to his wife, Maria.
And Ron, is there a subtext for the book? Is there some sort of something that what people can get out of this book? Like, what is the...
You mean like Hemingway?
Yeah. No, is there something beside, you know, during the...
Well, I'll tell you, you know, it's like all the books that I write, I mean, you know, they all have the same ending. You know, everybody gets caught. You know, they end up spending a lot of time in prison. So I guess, you know, if there's a lesson, it's crime does not pay. And I think that, you know, you can enjoy the moment. And Jesus did this. I mean, he went on these trips, you know, vacation trips where he spent £100,000, you know, in a weekend and all that. But eventually it's going to catch up with you. You know, eventually going to catch up with you. And that's what happened.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
He thought he had beaten the game. He got out. He was out for 6 months. But then, because of the certain events, he got caught up. The police started were investigating him, and the next thing you know, he was arrested and was convicted. You know, on that. And so I think there's a lesson. It's like all my books is that, you know, crime doesn't pay in the long run.
Yeah. Jesus, what would you tell someone in the in that same business nowadays? Would you give them advice?
How can I get to trust someone? Okay. It's a lot of times, and I think so many times in this business that people approach you to be a customer or to be in the organization. And to trust them is really, really hard. But I was normally just texting them. I just try to make them do something else for the organization and see what's coming on. Because it's a lot of police involved in this business. And they become in active in the organization. But when you trust them to do something specific, they cannot do it. And then is when you realize this person is not good. and to manage to get the trust in the organization, they have to be willing to do anything. But in my organization, I never put any person in danger. I never use violence against anyone. I never kill or murder anyone. I keep that way. I was only looking into do business, make money. That was my main point. And for that reason, I believe the heat didn't come on me for too long. Because as soon as no murders around, there's no people killing or starving because of this business, the heat stay away from us.
And the thing about Jesus is that in this really cutthroat business, he didn't carry a gun. And which is quite amazing, because in chapter 3 of the book, I talk about the Sicarios, and Jesus mentioned them earlier. The Sicarios were contract killers. I mean, they made their money from killing people. And Jesus got involved with them. He almost got killed. And that was one of the reasons why he had to leave the country, was because his life was in danger because of them. But he still, you know, did not carry a gun, and he believed in the power of persuasion. You know, the power of his words to convince people to do things that he wanted them to do.
Jesus, what do you feel about the war on drugs that's going on around the world?
I don't know. I think so that it's a war that never ends. I believe the governments and the police will never win that. The only things, I've been involved in this business for so long. I saw how people come addicted to drugs. But I saw many people as well getting out of the drugs. And I believe I was in prison for too long. I saw how drugs is available inside British prison at every moment. But I believe it's all about education. You can see in Colombia, it's not that addiction that is everywhere in the world. In Colombia, if people take drugs, yes, but they don't become like junkies. They don't become in that addiction too heavy, because it's people grow up between them. I grow up between the cocaine plants. I grow up between the cocaine everywhere around my home and my farm, everywhere. I never use drugs because I'm well aware what it is. But when the people doesn't know what that can make to them, that will destroy them, is when they become into the addiction. But if the government educate the population properly, they will become aware of it.
How has this changed you?
How it changed me?
Yeah, the whole experience of being in the business and going to jail and coming out of it. When you look back at it, what do you think the biggest change to you personally?
I think the biggest change for me is now from outside, because I was there. I was inside very heavy, and I was doing everything there. And now from outside, after the prison, I was thinking this for many, many months inside prison, is because we have to give it a hand. We have to track the people who get into the addiction is by a health problem, even medication. And now I saw from outside that this is bad. This is bad. This is really, really destroy family, destroy people. And changed me a lot, because now I managed to see the light properly and try to give it a hand, extend my hand to people who are in addiction. I try to give them advice. And luckily, after I leave the prison a year ago, I managed to get one person out of the drugs. He's still smoking now, but no drugs at the moment.
That's great. Great. Now, I noticed it says in your bio here that you actually tried to broker a deal of £1 million cocaine from behind bars.
Yes. That was something really stupid. That was a big mistake. But because when you are in prison, you have to take your words there. Whenever you say something, you have to make sure it is done. Otherwise, you will lose respect in prison. an impression people can take you for a job or anything, and I had to stand on my ground. One day, I was just joking around, and I said to someone, I can do this, I can do that. That person contacted another person, another Colombian doctor. The Colombian started talking, and then I heard them talking, saying to another group of people there in prison, oh, Jesus is always talking shit. He's always a big mouth. I was losing my respect, and I said, listen, I can do, and I'm not talking shit. And I sent someone into Colombia to contact, to speak to one of my contacts in here for to provide a parcel. And then is when the police came in to us.
Mm. What was it like living in jail for so long? Like, how was it for you?
To do this business for so long. I don't know, really. It's something you don't realize. It's the times pass on, year to year to year, and I didn't realize. When you are involved in this, you don't think properly. You just see money, and I said, you don't think, oh, this is it, I'm going to lose this, you don't feel scared or nothing. You just get involved in that. You don't care about anything. Just money, counting millions and millions of pounds all the time, and that is the only thing. And the time goes. When then you realize they are on you, it's too late. Nothing you can do.
So, if you had a chance to go back in time, would you do it all over again?
That is a really hard question. Through this business, through my life, this business, I have helped hundreds of people. I didn't just use the money to be greedy. I had an orphanage even in Colombia. I had an orphanage with 100 children, and I provide them with medicine, clothes, everything they need, food, everything they need. And I was helping many people in Central America, in London even, people who nearly to lose their houses. See, I look into this. For that, I will say, yes, I will do again, help people. But if I look into this, for what I destroyed, because I destroyed many families, I will never do it. I will never have thinking on that. I will go back the time and will say, never do that.
Jesus started an orphanage. That's what he's talking about in Colombia, to help young kids that didn't have anything going for them. And the orphanage is still operating.
Well, so what do you want to do with the rest of your life now?
Really, I'm an old man now. I'm thinking just to have my own piece of land, have my own garden, and grow up this, have my own dog, and enjoy my life. Just be relaxed, be cool every day, and spend the time with my wife, and she come to live, stay with me. And that is what I'm thinking to do.
Mm. He wants to be a movie star too. he wants for our book to make it as a film like I do, and we've had some interest in it already. The book's not out yet, and we've had some interest in it on that. But it makes an amazing story, and hopefully something will develop from that.
So, Ron, when you wrote this book and went through and talked to him and stuff like that, was there anything that really stuck out for you?
Well, it was just, for a period there in the book when I was, researching it, I was thinking to myself, God, he really took chances there for a period with the Sicarios. Didn't you, Jesus, with the Sicarios? They wanted to kill certain people, and he wouldn't let them out of principle, and that irritated them. But he had the right contacts, the right people that supported him within the Sicario community, and that was prevented. But eventually, they would have probably killed him. They probably would have killed him because he was a liability to the organization, and that's why Jesus had to leave Colombia because for his own safety on that, and he did leave, and it worked out, you know, okay. I mean, for him, he developed one of the biggest cocaine trafficking organization in the United Kingdom history.
Yeah. Jesus, so whatever happened to the to your organization after you got arrested and you were put in jail and all that stuff? What happened to a lot of the other people involved? Did it all fall apart?
Normally that happens, yes. Someone tried to take control, fell apart. But in my case, about 34 people were arrested. Some in Colombia, some in Spain, and about 17 or 19 in UK. And for that reason, yes, and for that reason, that fell apart. Some of the big people, one of them, the big man who used to provide me with tons of cocaine, he was, because he wanted to take the power, whatever he seen. For that reason, he got murdered by the Sicarios, because they don't let the people to. Sometimes they don't want someone to take the power. They want to keep their power. For that reason, about 8 years after I was arrested, he got murdered by them.
Wow.
The total, there were 34 people convicted for 350 years in prison. That's how big the organization was. And the British intelligence said that the price of cocaine jumped 50% after Jesus was locked up. That's the kind of impact he had on the cocaine market.
It's true. I used to sell the kilo of cocaine at 23,000 pounds. And about a month or 2 months later, I was arrested. The price grew up to 35,000 pounds per kilo.
Oh, so it's your fault for that, too. Wow. So that's quite a life you've had. What do you hope people get out of your book?
Yeah.
Well, a good read, for one thing, you know, that they'll be entertained for how many hours it takes to read the book. And, you know, it's an amazing life. I mean, he's, you know, he's very, very quiet now. Jesus is leading a quiet life, but, you know, he lived several lifetimes in one lifetime, you know, doing what he did. And the fact that he was able to run this empire, I mean, he had estimated 20,000 people working for him. He had probably just about 100 in the UK and about 20,000 in Colombia doing all kinds of things, money laundering, getting the drugs, everything on that sort of thing. So it was quite an amazing life. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad I had the opportunity to share it, you know, with the public by writing the book, because it literally wrote itself, because it's such an interesting book and there's so many twists and turns in his life that it makes for a great read.
Well, great. And so, Jesus, who's going to star as you in the movie?
In the book is all the information. The book, I believe, became very well. I just spent many, many days, nights, months writing everything. And everything is there, all the information. It's fantastic.
Did you ever worry about backlash from people that are still in the cocaine world or business?
A little bit. But I don't think so, because I have no enemies. I don't owe money to anyone.
He's just never killed anybody. You know, people don't have long memories about that. I mean, nobody's out for revenge against him, you know, because of that.
But putting the book out doesn't give out any sort of information that someone might be cross at?
I don't think so.
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. It's essentially Jesus' story about how he did it, you know, and
Extraordinary people in the people involved there. They were behind me. They were working for me. The only main person there that was me, and I don't think so. I don't get any other organization involved. It's only my organization. I don't think so. It's not going to affect anything.
Wow. Okay. Yep. So now, Ron, where is the book going to be available, and is it out now?
The book is going to be, there's an e-book right now, but the print book will be out, and this will be the official launch of the book, will be April 20th. And after April 20th, it'll be available everywhere, you know, Barnes & Noble, Amazon, bookstores. It's going to be sold in the United Kingdom as well as the United States. And we're hoping to get the book, Spanish rights, their book sold. Pretty quickly, because there's great information on Colombia. It's a very unique story dealing with a Colombian kingpin in the UK rather than the US on that. So just look for it. Just go on Amazon, and you'll see it on there. The real Mr. Big, and you can buy it.
Okay, and you have a website as well, right? Too.
Yeah, I have a website. It's www.ronchepsiuk.com. People could connect with me on Facebook on that, and I'm not so active on Twitter, but they could connect with me on Facebook.
Yeah. Well, it's been a pleasure. So now, Jesus, we wish you the best, and we thank you for coming on and kind of giving us a preview of your new book.
Yes, you're very welcome.
Great. And thank you, Ron.
Yeah, thank you, Alan.
The book is called The Real Mr. Big, How a Colombian Refugee Became the United Kingdom's Most Notorious Cocaine Kingpin. Thanks for being here, guys.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Ron. Thanks, Jesus.
Okay.
To find out more about our show, guests, or to listen to past shows from our archive, please go to www.houseofmysteryradio.com.
Show's over for now.
Was it as good for you as it was for me?
Well, good night.
This has been a production of Something Weird Media.
I'll be back.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
You've been listening to the House of Mystery radio show. To find out more about our guests, hosts, or shows, go to www.houseofmystery.com.
Show's over for now.
Was it as good for you as it was for me?
Well, good night.
This has been a production of Something Weird Media.
I'll be back.